people they had a whole lot and they had socialist speakers come there.
In English or did they speak Finnish?
Finnish and some English. And I went to a lot of socialist meetings, but I read Henry George then. I was a worshiper of Henry George. And I got his complete works here.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
that's it. You were in the holiday.
Yeah, we were in the holiday movement. Sorry.
Tell us something about those struggles. Did they have the mortgage struggles around here?
Oh, yes. Well, I got so many bad habits, I got a chew tobacco or smoke or something. This one at time, and we had meetings every 2 weeks, and the hall was full every time. And we had, when the differences came up among the people, they used to bring it in from other counties even to have a committee decide between them, instead of going to an attorney. And we had penny sales, organized sales, so that they quit holding more foreclosure sales because people would bid a few pennies for something and get it, and there wouldn't be any money for the mortgage holder. And we the group for the association would name a committee, probably three, and this committee would be pretty well recognized. And the committee would organize the meeting, and anybody that...
Do you have any mic cursors in here?
Nothing.
Yeah?
Anybody that didn't conform with C would
be frowned on.
And this was respected.
Ashtray.
Oh, thank you.
What?
Ashtray. Oh, yeah. I can tell you the one sale, the way we handled it, there was to be an eviction and a foreclosure of his personal property. And the sheriff was out there too, at one time, to dispossess him on the place, and he kept moving our stuff, and the group moved it back in, and the sheriff finally gave up when that was left. And then they advertised the sheriff's sale on his personal property, and there was an awful big group there, some from other counties, and we had contact with the counties around us. And the committee was named, and we made the deal with the mortgage holder, it was a default bank really, to give this man four horses and a few cows of his pick out of the bunch, enough machinery, he had quite a lot of machinery, to operate for one man and so forth, and give him that free of encumbrance and give him his mortgage back, and then we let him take the rest of the stuff. And the farm, we finally got the farm back for him too. So in his own name. That was one of the strongest demonstrations we put out. There was a lot of demonstrations.
Did the women take part in these then?
Oh, they were there.
And I know that
well, they served the lunches.
And it was really revolutionary. It could have fermented into trouble. Some people would come there with a rope wrapped around their belt, you know, suggesting hanging and stuff like that. It got to that point where it could have. Well, it was a revolutionary completely from the beginning.
Well, you were interfering with the law.
Yeah. But we didn't include Nebraska. They even took churches out.
Yeah, and Iowa, well, they almost hanged one.
Yeah. Get back to stepfather. I tell one instance when we... There was a blacksmith out in Linton. That's on the Missouri River, but he ain't like... He was leader there for more relief. They had demonstration for more relief. And the authorities arrested him as the leader, and they went up to the courthouse and got rough. And they didn't dare to put him in jail in Linton. They sent him up to Bismarck and let him in jail in Bismarck. And then a statewide meeting was called on that question and some others, and there was a big meeting in Bismarck. And they named the delegates to go and see Langer about getting this man released, this blacksmith. And to be named on that committee, I think there was 5 of us, and we went up to Langer's office and took us in and seated us comfortably and had to chew with tobacco and we chewed or smoked on it and tried to like and talk and well know what we went after, and we told him, well, we fixed that. He got busy on the telephone, and the fellow was back to the meeting before we got back. He was in jail in Bismarck. Stuff like that, you know. He said, he's a crooked politician.
Mm-hmm. Well.
And during relief times, you know, when the relief first come out, he came out to us in North Dakota as Langer relief. He had his name attached to it. Well, the Washington authorities wouldn't stand for that, of course, and then they suspended all relief from North Dakota. And then they sent a committee down there, Judge Christensen, he was at the head of the court in North Dakota, and some more with him on the committee was sent to Washington, and they come back in charge. And they called in all the welfare boards. I was on the welfare board here, so I was up at that meeting and instructed us how to proceed, and it's clear out of Langer's hands. And with the WPA work and different things and my instructions there. And after that, Langer would go around and make political speeches and made them in their own day and all over. And encourage the people to make demands for relief, and if they didn't get what they needed and should have, I write to him. And he'd get stacks of letters that high, you know, from all over. And all he'd do, he'd just send a letter back to the welfare board and recommend that they look into this case, you see. And the people thought that he was doing some good, and most of these welfare board distributed women thinking they were sick in imagination and all the rest of it. And Miss Jerpy, evidently this woman wasn't on his political side, I knew him. And he didn't figure that she needed anything. Miss Jerpy spoke up and she gave him quite a line on the hustle and bustle of the times and the difficulties, and she can be really sick without having any physical symptoms and so forth. And I don't know why I did it, and I kind of leaned towards her and kind of whispered that I asked her when she had read Pablo. She was expounding that Russian philosophy on psychology. Pretty good, you know. And so she looked at me, she said, look clear through me. He says, you surprised me. And then she went to dinner, she sat down by the table herself alone, and the commissioner said he'd been done in the same place and we were walking out. And she asked me to come down and sit down. So I sat and talked with her a while, and every time she'd come down, we had to talk after that.
Had she read Pablo?
I think she had.
She didn't say it. She was surprised you had.
And she was pretty well poor too lopsided. She says, you should read some poetry and you should get interested in art. He says, you've got just too much of one thing in you. liked her after that. I couldn't spell it. Miss Jerpy.
Jerpy?
Yeah. She's evidently Norwegian.
Oh.
That's a Norwegian name.
She's
been a teacher.
She's had a lot of experience in life.
Uh-huh. She's been a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she must have been.
She had pretty good education.
She
discussed people in movements and how they sometimes continue too long and how they reverse themselves or don't keep up and become an obstacle to the... I think I brought that out. I've seen that at different times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she was very well aware of that. He said, I want to tell you, he says that I have arranged, he had a professor's son in California, Stanford University. I have arranged with my son to watch my movements and my speeches and what I do. And when his opinion comes that I'm no longer service, he's going to take me home and tie me to the back post. Making people drunk with wine and stuff like that. He went through that, he had in mind to improve the lot of a woman at that time. You can see that all the way, that women were slaves, they were chattel, and he was interested in that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
He shows a lot of interest in that part of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was one.
And you know, at that time, well, you probably know more about these things than I do. And if
no, I don't.
Mistake, you correct me. At that time, some of the states, the bigger states, didn't have the western boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
They extended indefinitely to the west. And the smaller states that had states around them, they were feared the large states, that they would expand and subdue the little states. You know, they were really little nations then. They regarded themselves as almost nations, you see. And there was a fight on in Congress, and they come to an agreement to set a western boundary for those states, and that new states should come into the Union be accepted with constitutions of their own, written by themselves. See, and the common people moved out into the West, and they come in with the liberal ideas and the liberal constitutions into the states.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that agreement was made, and Jefferson, he was a great fellow. He wrote
you mean in 1787?
In 1787,
mm-hmm.
The Northwest Ordinance. And that is one thing you don't hear so much about, but that's as important as our Constitution and as our Declaration of Independence. Because it was from the western states, the new states, that they had the liberal constitution, where they give everybody equal rights, where everybody had a right to vote. Only on the western states, so there was no voting rights or anything in those eastern states, you know, along the border there. They didn't get the voting rights until after they learned it from the west. And his son tells me that when he had the first carload loaded, he was offered 20 cents a bushel more for it than the market in February that day. And that's how they gathered up the wealth to do these things.
That's me. Oh, that. I think that the whole expropriation of wealth in the Northwest was the greatest stealing that ever had been done in the history of the world up to that time. Don't you think so? I mean, what does Marx call it? Primary accumulation of wealth, which is the stealing of the primary source of wealth.
And I got some speech from McCumber, you know, the senator at that time, big business senator.
Mm-hmm.
When the farmers were battling for something better,
he went around and made speeches to get re-elected. The people didn't elect senators at that time, but they had, in North Dakota, they had passed the laws of the people to vote on senators and express their preference, and then the legislators sometimes followed that. And he campaigned for re-election, and he cried because the Northwest farmers were losing I don't know how many millions now a year to the discovery, and told all about it because they might as well, you know, to get the people's support.
Uh-huh.
And didn't do a darn thing, of course, to help the people out.
Where are we going?
I don't know. But as far as I've kept up with the development, as far as recording is successful with that.
You know, I think the Black Hills are wonderful. You should take a jaunt up there. You know, I expected to not like the carvings. You know, I don't like big things. It doesn't seem like they're any better when they're big. You know, but you know what I mean.
And so forth. And Borgman was one of them.
Is that so?
I had a whole day with Borgman.
Did you?
Down here, at the picnic. Period of the First World War right after it. And what he was most interested in was the skullduggery and the production of aircraft. He had been appointed by President Wilson as his personal representative to look into the aircraft scandal. And he was telling about now this Talbot that was put at the head of the, was appointed.
Well, I don't mean to say she couldn't run the stimulation. Yeah. Henry George.
Henry George.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. And then
we'll buy that book. We just neglected to buy it for the compliment. Now, in holiday times, I used to get these world almanacs. And I'd like to make the statement. And I'd make up a chart of the economic condition every year, some years ago, and the share that the people receive of the proceeds of the entire economy, see, and the distribution of that, and to show that not a sufficient amount was redistributed among the people so they could continue to function without going to debt, and so forth. And I used to put that up on some kind of a chart. And one time we had a big holiday meeting in the hall, and I had one of those then, and I was explaining it to the group. They showed the income of the nation for that year and the distribution of this among people, and showing that the people couldn't function without borrowing back from those who received too much from the proceeds, you see. Them as happened to be along, and he came into meetings, and he was up there. He was going to stay at our place. He went through the country and found out what it was down there. And he took that in, and he gave me such a compliment that it was embarrassing. He said that he was a graduate of Harvard, isn't he? And he had taken economics, and he said that I displayed more real economics in that chart than he got to his school.
True. You had a lot of experience. You like to know the reason why.
The reason why I wasn't getting along
there. Well, what's going to happen now to the farmers? In Dakota?
In the nation. Of the consented population.
13.
Some say 15.
He's vanishing.
Yes.
Where is he?
There's very few young people now that are setting up old farms. The old man runs it for long time, and so he can fix it up. It is among the craftsmen way back in the Hanseatic times, when the factory system was established. When the factory system began, this big farming with big machinery and big units is more economical and a better way of producing food and an easier way of producing food for the population than the old farming method, and less drudgery. And I think whether we like it or not, that is going to prevail. But the next step will be, is bound to be a form of socialism, cooperation or something, because when the interest gets sufficient control of the production of food as they have of steel and rubber and automobiles and so forth, then there will be a famine. There won't be enough distribution of wealth among the masses to be able to live. And then they will be forced to proceed in another way. That's, if you follow the history as we have lived it, that's what we can expect. The vanishing farmer is proceeding faster as we go along in spite of anything we do. And those that are hoping to re-establish the family size farm is just wishful thinking.
Oh, I'm
aware of whatever it will be, as they have the world has seen before in other lands.
The yeah, but I don't think it
will be able to make this transition with less hardship than others have been made before.
Mm-hmm.
But will they? That's I don't know. The people has contributed, but I think the great big thing that stood in the way of those things was the might of the Soviet Union. That's what stopped the Korean War. We had too far to go, and the Soviet Union was right there, and they didn't dare to go farther than they did. They thought they better quit. And,
oh, yes.
A lot of captains said. I like to read their articles. They seem to be an improvement on the old writings of the Bolsheviks in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And they are more down to earth. And they should be, because they had that experience to draw on.
Yeah.
The Russians were pioneers, and it was illiterate people, and the Chinese are a better informed people than the Russians was, as a being. I have great faith in the development of India, and I think perhaps things have now progressed to a point that India can make the transition without an internal conflict at all. And somebody had purposely, I think, put one of her books in one of these packages that were to be sent out, and where she discussed the major relations, you know, that they made a lot of capital. And put a lot of people. But the non-party people, three lovers, because one of those books were included, because they didn't know nothing. People knew nothing about Alan Key or her writing. She's regarded as one of the world's great scientists, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
Except there was a lot of enthusiasm in meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And we got contact with speakers from all over the United States coming. It contributed an awful lot, practically helped write the program with Senator Ladd and Dr. Ladd of the college. He made a large contribution towards the program.
Did you know him? He must have been a wonderful man.
Yes. Yeah. Well, all I knew him, I heard him speak several times. Got appropriation through, I don't remember just when, to purchase an experimental mill for the college. at his request. And he milled the wheat and baked it and so forth, you know, too. And he proposed to a price for wheat based on his baking quality. And way back, the first year we had rust in North Dakota, I can well remember that, the wheat was just shrunken, and it took a lot of it to make a bushel, and the grain dealers, it created 7 million bushels of that crop in Minneapolis. And he tested that wheat, ground it, and proved that he could make good flour out of that wheat, and that they were the fame enough for it, and he broadcast those things.
Mm-hmm.
And he would analyze paints and different things, and he said, I heard him say in his speech that he hadn't gone to a bed without an indictment of some kind hanging over his head for many years by these concerns, you see, that he had. He wanted justice. The government wasn't getting it. And the Nonpartisan League, to start with, you know, he proposed that the beef and the wheat should be processed in the States, and the feed should be used here without shipping it back and forth, you see, and that we should sell the finished product, and that's what led to the state killing.
Mm-hmm.
The league has gotten more publicity and more, it has had a great influence, I think, on the whole nation. But do you know that the Nonpartisan League was only in full, complete control in one session of the legislature? And they never, and the opposition was the ones that took over and put the program into effect, what program they had, and of course it's sabotaged. So the farmers never got the benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, to. The profits were to be returned to the people, based on the grain. But it is run for profit, and that profit relieves the taxes, and the big taxpayer gets the benefit of it. But still, people stick to it. They don't see that part of it. They lost sight of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a saving only to the large taxpayers. The fellow that hasn't got anything, he doesn't participate in your savings. He lies local where he lived.
Yeah.
And he ran on the socialist ticket before he got affiliated with the league. He soured the farmers, of course. Townley was an adventurer, and there's a group of them. And they undertook more than they could handle, you see, properly. And I don't know if they handled everything so honestly and economically either. They loaned them money and strength of their promises, and then they started consumer stores, and they were started haphazardly and haphazardly run, and they weren't successful. And then they, just a picture of what went on, I sunk $1,000 in the newspaper. There was a wave of cooperative spirit went over the state. That grew out of the success of the elevators, cooperative elevators. Taking Forbes, before the league started, putting everything was cooperative. The farmers bought even the blacksmith shop and the newspaper and the implement and the store. Well, I bought into the store, and I had shares in the bank, but I thought it was going too far, and I wouldn't participate the rest of it. I didn't take any shares in the paper, and I didn't want nothing to do with it, nor the implement, nor the blacksmiths, and the rest of it. And that's true of many other towns today. And then this paper run by the farmers, you know, was nothing but a liability. Take a printer that owns his own plant and puts out his paper, could make a living, but when they had to hire a printer and know nothing about it, of course it was nothing but a liability. They had a paper in every little town then. And the blacksmith shop, you know, I had done some blacksmithing, and I knew that a blacksmith only earns wages for labor performed. And they thought they was going to be a success to have on that cooperative. Well, by the time they hired the blacksmith and paid him, there was nothing, and that fell through. business is a very hazardous business. Very few of them gain anything. Partisan League came to power where they wanted the non-partisan league in every county. And when the farmers had this paper, but they didn't consider that large enough. Talbot, you know, was a great promoter. He was on board. And so they purchased another newspaper in Olson, amalgamated the two, and established a paper in Elmdale, a county paper, to get the county printing, the non-partisan league. Well, I was never on the board, but I was interested in the league, and I put $100 into it, and the rest of the share. And most of the people bought it by giving the notes. And when the board began to operate the thing, they had lots of notes and no money. And so they went out, and these notes wasn't negotiable. Nobody would loan them any money on these notes. And they went out, Talbot, and there was a leader, and got a lot of, go around and get a lot of signers on a joint note to support the value of these notes so they could borrow money on them and run the paper. And, well, I was afraid of signing a joint note for $6,000-$7,000. I had a little then, not much, but what I had was clear and family growing up. And I wanted to sign separate notes for a limited amount. All that enthusiasm was such that nothing, then nobody would have to pay that note. I went on a joint note, and they were to get 50 or 60 signers on. Well, they got 20 signers, I guess, and give up. And there was enough good ones down there so that they could borrow money on these notes, and they got the money. Well, six of us, there was only six left that had to clean up the mess, and it cost us $1,000 apiece. We had to bribe ourselves, but we didn't have a mortgage on the land, we had some property, and we could be sued and get a majority. And we just had to come across, and there's only six of the whole bunch that stayed and paid that. We stores and backers of the newspapers. Mm-hmm. And that was, it wasn't sensible business, it was based on a wildcat. Mm-hmm. And bought a plantation there. They was going to raise sisals for the production of twine was needed then, you know. And without a language into that, and lanky and townly, and I don't know how many more. And they have been there. There's some assets there they've been feuding over up to lately.
Is that so?
Left. The dues was used to make payments on that stuff.
Huh?
There was a lot of stuff that wasn't about board connected with the league.
Oh, they went crazy, yeah.
Just one. Get up and talk to the people, and you can laugh with them, and you could cry tears with them, and it's necessary. He's a good actor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when he comes as a manager of the things, he was terrible. The confidence that the people had is still in the most of the old timers, to the extent that they resisted the change of cleaning the thing up. Some of the old timers that was first with the league won't believe the story yet.
Mm-hmm.
And they stick to Langer, and they stick to these old fellows up in the capital there that have double-crossed us time and again. Take the confidence and the enthusiasm that had developed then stuck to the old timers to the extent that it couldn't be cleaned up.
Mm.
Well, some of them, what was going on, and I was told nearly kicked out of the league. Me too, to some extent.
Mm.
And then there were lawsuits in order to retired the thing, but the league won those lawsuits. It was important that their program stood up in law. But I lay to the one thing, for instance, the league gave the suffrage to the women in North Dakota. Full suffrage, that is after the National Amendment had been enacted. And that legislature that was in full control elected everything but Minnie Nielsen, the superintendent of school. The women had their voting rights and they did vote in matters of school, and this Minnie Nielsen was supported by the women and many of the nonpartisan leaders too. Well then, Townley, I think, was responsible mostly for forcing through a bill to curtail the relieve Minnie Nielsen of a lot of her powers and set up a board of administration to take over the functions that she normally should have had, see, the appointed powers and things. And that enraged the women that could only vote for Minnie Nielsen and many of the non-partisans. And I think that one thing had more to do than the propaganda of the opposition to break up the league. And the next legislature, the next election, they lost control of the legislature after that. And then the opposition became, the opposition was about to give up because they got such a small vote, they was out. But after the that Minnie Nielsen deal, they played that up very big, and the nonpartisan lost control of the House in the next election, and that gave them courage, and then they sponsored the recall election and won again. And then after that, the next spring, there was a convention in Fargo. I happened to be delegate to that convention. They picked Fraser up again and nominated him for United States Senator, and he won in the fall. But the next nonpartisan convention, well, that convention was pretty well demoralized. They were two equal factions, Townley faction and anti-Townley faction, that was so equal that it was difficult to organize the meeting. Well, Fraser finally won the nomination and got elected in the fall. But the league was pretty well demoralized. And at the convention, they didn't have money and they wasn't selling any membership. They sold membership for $16 a piece, you know, to finance things, and they had a lot of money to do it. And the thing was pretty well down. And there was talks of that Arthur Sorley of Grand Forks, he was a wealthy man and he had the ambition to be governor. And he wasn't a leaguer at all. But the rumors were circulated there that he was a good man and that he was anti-big business. And he had difficulties with big business because one thing he started a soda cracker factory up there.
How about that, please?
Soda cracker, biscuit factory.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Because he saw money in that. See, they don't put nothing when it started. The Langer group came up again. Langer returned against the league. He helped the opposition in the recall election. And after that, right, there couldn't be any program that wouldn't be passed upon by the candidates. The people hadn't enough to say it. And they didn't realize that. They thought they still had the same, but after that it's been run by politicians.
Mm-hmm.
And the next convention then would come in 23, or must it be seen, or spring of 24. He must have been big in 1916. But then the senators are elected every 4 years, and there was enough opposition holdover senators to block the program in 17. Legislature, so they didn't get very far. You can get it. And then they called a special session in 18, and those senators still was able to block the program. In 1919, they cleaned the slate. They won everything. They eliminated those old senators, and they won big, exception of Minnie Nielsen, the superintendent of the school. And in that
legislature, they enacted the entire program. And they went too far for the people to follow, so that in the next election they lost control of the House. That's the story of it. Mm-hmm. Mackey had a big hand in writing those bills. And he was, Lemke was a people's man. When the people were in trouble, they used to go to your dad for legal advice in the early days. That is, when they come in conflict with the authorities, with the ideas and so forth. And then they would go to Lemke, and he was a servant of the people in that respect. He was, I guess he was a kind of a socialist. Anyway, he helped the people without whether he got any money for it or not. And I think he, I don't know what, your father probably had something to do with it, and some of those progressive lawyers, but I think Lemke did a lot of the work in writing the laws. Mm-hmm. And his laws stood up in the court. They couldn't, he must have done a pretty good job, because he took him to the Supreme Court of the United States. It was in blocked in court for quite a while, but it stood up. And I'm pretty well acquainted with him. He's been here several times. And then he got a state job, and he came down here at state expense sometimes and visited during that time. And he's done quite a piece of work that is of value. He's reviewed the laws passed by the legislature.